B-Pod Studios.
97.5 Fanatic, and of course, NBC Sports in Philadelphia. I'm excited. So I was excited when to fill in for Mike on a Tuesday. See, I requested, I wanted to, you know, Mike was going to be off. It's a Tuesday. I want to be able to fill in just because of our next guest. Because I'm a big fan of Tuesdays with Sal. And he's my main man. So I want to get him up here on the Comcast Business Hotline, the great Sal Palantonio. Sal Pal!
Brother Ant, I'm down at NovaCare. I'm down in South Philly. And I've been thinking about you all day. Excited to join you on the show. Heard that you were going to be on and tuned in at 2 o'clock to make sure it was true.
I was telling the story about how, you know, you and I go back way back in the day. When you are an award-winning journalist covering City Hall, when the great, right, and then you said, you know, I want to try sports, and then you knew your football, you were a big sports guy, and you come in, and, you know, I just like bulldog, and then you come in covering the Eagles, and you and I learned so much from you during that when I was in New York, and you and I would go about our business, and because we had a lot of crossover. And I learned so much from him, how to be a great reporter.
Well, come on now. I used to read your stuff and say, who is this poet? Who's this South Philly poet that I'm reading here? Who is this kid? Who's this kid with all these chops at a young age?
So I'm dying to hear what you think. I got a million questions for you, all right? So first off, are we going to have a sequel? Like, is this the sequel season? And I get to read another South Pal sequel? Because, by the way, that book was outrageous. So I'm done with the compliments because I can go on all day. It was tremendous, bro. Tremendous.
I appreciate that. Coming from you, somebody who can write his rear end off, that's very nice of you. But I don't know if it's going to be a sequel. When training camp started, it was Super Bowl or bust. That was the feeling. Now it's just a grind. It's gritty. These guys, today it was a blast furnace. Yesterday it was equatorial. It was absolutely brutal on that practice field, and the coaches were not letting up, giving no quarter. At 3 o'clock, I turned to Charles Edwards of Fox. There's a lot of visiting media here today from all over the country. Because this was the last joint practice of any two teams in the NFL for the 2019 training camps.
Wow.
This is the last one. So 2:30, 3 o'clock, I turned to Charles Edwards. I'm like, gosh, the coaches have got it's a diminishing returns. It was getting sloppy. You could see guys were dragging, getting a little chippy. They were tired. It was rough.
That's hard,
really,
man.
Really
Doug.
It was rough. It was, you know, I've been saying this all camp. Doug has been hard on Carson. Hard.
That's awesome.
He has been working him. In fact, after the press conference, Ant, I pulled Doug aside, just me and him one-on-one. And I said, are you sure that you're getting enough work for Carson? Is he getting enough physical work? Is the tempo, the energy, and the physicality, is a game simulation enough? He goes, you should be standing out there. This is Sal. You should be standing out there with me, and you'll see how physical it is. You'll see how tough it is. And today, I was up close and personal and watching on the field with Charles Edwards of Fox, and we were marveling at the physicality of these two practices. I'll tell you, you know, the Ravens' defense.
That's pretty good, huh?
Tough.
Yeah.
Energetic. You know, I think the Ravens' front seven and the secondary won day one. Okay, in the one-on-ones, I saw a lot of what I thought were the Ravens taking advantage of some of the matchups that they had. But day two today, first of all, you had three interceptions by the secondary of the Eagles, three picks.
Wow.
Two by the secondary, one by Vinnie Curry.
Wow, all right.
On a tip ball. So I thought that the Eagles, something must have happened yesterday where Malcolm must have stood up or somebody and said, hey, we got to bring the juice day too, and they brought it today.
So, and that Raven team, you brought up that Raven secondary, man. That's a top three, top five defense, top five secondary for sure. So that's a big deal. I was wondering, Sal, when you look at what Carson's at and not going to play probably Thursday night, right? He's not playing Thursday night.
I'd be shocked if they put him out there, because the whole idea is controlled environment.
Sure.
He's getting more reps. I mean, listen.
I agree with it, actually.
Well, yeah, for sure. You do, because, listen, you lost quarterbacks in back-to-back weeks, all right? Not for nothing.
Right.
Okay? They're the only team that lost quarter. So why tempt fate now? You don't want to put Carson out there. Forget it. You definitely do not want to do that. You'll see Kessler. You'll see Thorson. You might see McCown, maybe. But I'm not sure if you'll even see him. But, you know, I'm a believer that you can't fake football. You can fake a lot of things in life, but you can't fake tackle football.
Dead right. Oh, you're so right. You're so right.
So, you know, I'm a believer in, if the playing field is level, and I believe that it is, 12 quarterbacks, right? 12 quarterbacks have not thrown a pass this preseason. 12 starting quarterbacks. It's more than a third in the league. Okay? So most teams are doing that. That means for the first 2 weeks of the regular season, you're feeling each other out. I believe in what Bill Belichick said. There's four quarters of a season. There's a preseason, four quarters of a season, and then an overtime. So the first quarter is not the football team you're going to have in the fourth quarter of the season. So they understand that, and they're working through it.
I was saying the same thing. I was saying the same thing, and we're talking to the great Sal Pal Tuesdays with Sal right now on the Comcast Business Hotline. You look at the Patriots every year. They get off to that, you know, 1-2 start, a little sloggy, right?
Yeah.
And then everybody starts talking, Father Time's catching up with Brady, This is the end of the... And, you know, November, December, when it matters the most, there they are, and making that run into January and February.
And you can't touch them in November and December. You can't touch them. So, you know, what do I see? All right, let's go through three specific things. I got to do Sports Center at 5:15.
Oh, yeah, you know.
I'll have to roll on. That's why I'm coming out a little bit early on this Tuesday. Because I didn't want to miss it, God forbid.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, my brother. I got three specific observations. Let's take number 11 first, okay? He's still working on vectoring the long ball to DeSean Jackson. He's still learning to throw to a spot instead of to the man, okay? More air under the ball. Too much line drive yet. And that will, I think, happen in a game. I think in practice it's still tough to figure out, but I think in a game he's going to come to it quickly. It's still not there yet. Work in progress. Number two, I really like what I see in the depth now that's developing at the running back position.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Speak
to Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, Corey Clement. I like what I see. I like what I see a lot. And three, this team is going to dominate secondaries. I'm telling you right now.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. They got height, size, strength, speed, smarts, durability, toughness, two great tight ends. And I'm telling you, this offense is going to score and a lot of points this year. They're going to take a lot of pressure that was on that defense last year. They're going to take pressure off the defense, I believe. You're going to see them guns blazing right out of the gate.
I the creative thing, because I can't wait to see what Doug has in store with the 12 personnel. And look, you mentioned both tight ends and then DeSean and, I mean, all the array of backs. I mean, it's just like an endless kind of arsenal.
And if I could throw one last thing.
Yeah, please.
The defensive line is the class. I think it's the class of the NFC.
Wow!
That's
big, and not just because of Malik and Fletch, right? Because of the ends.
Everything. I think the defensive line is the class of the NFC. I really do. You know, without Sue, I think the Rams are going to be different. I understand they got blockers to go along with inside with the defensive player of the year, Aaron Donald. I get it, but beyond that, I don't see it yet. I just don't see it as good. I mean, the Saints are going to be there. Of course, the Bears have Khalil Mack, but he's a one-man band.
Right.
Leonard Floyd's good, but, I mean, in terms of depth, inside and out, I just think this defense. I've been around a lot of these camps, and I don't see anybody come across.
Well, that's huge, man. That's huge. That's a big thing, because listen, they're going to score, like you said, and if that defensive line can control this, control the line of scrimmage and put pressure, it's game over.
And you know, as much as Doug has been riding Carson, Carson's like, "What do you got? Give me more. That's all you got.
That's awesome.
I want more. Give me more.
That is awesome." Go ahead, go do Sports Center. I love you, brother.
We can talk for an hour.
Oh my God, I need you. I need you on the midday show one day. All right. If you don't mind.
Hey, you got to talk to the Godfather for that.
I know.
That's 1-800 Mikey Miss.
I love you, brother. Take it easy, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.